Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and my guest today is Margot Adair. And I've known Margot for a lot of years, although she lives up in Seattle, and I live here in Berkeley, California, so it's really a pleasure to see you, Margot, and welcome. Your most recent book here is Meditations on Everything Under the Sun, The Dance of Imagination, Intuition, and Mindfulness. It's a big, fat book, and the last big, fat book is called Working Inside Out. I use that book a lot in various organizing that I've done over the years, and I'll just let people know that we know each other originally, I think, because we're both really social change activists. And what's different about Margot's work from a lot of books on meditation is that it brings meditation and spirit, integrates it with social action, and there's very few people doing that, so I'm really excited to be able to talk to you, Margot. On the back of your book, here's a thing that says, Meditations on Everything Under the Sun is a joy of cooking for the psyche. I really like that because there's so much in this book, something for every occasion, mm-hmm. and you totally explain about, you know, what it's all about, spirit, and how it works, and it's just a very comprehensive. I know this has been a long project for you.
Hi, I'm really glad to be here with you, and yeah, it has been a really long project. Boundaries isn't one of my strong points, and my vision of the book was to create a joy of cooking for the psyche. And what I mean by that is whatever issues people are facing in contemporary life, to be able to have a meditation, it's a guided meditation script, that will speak to that issue and help them tap into their own deeper knowing and their own intuition and creative resources and healing resources to be able to move forward and put their best foot and their wisest foot forward on whatever the issue is, from anything from career to family relationships to the state of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm especially interested in the state of the world part, since there are other people who talk about the personal growth, mm-hmm. which is not to say you shouldn't talk about it too, because we all have our personal stuff, that's for sure. So I guess just, you know, start talk about that, because the time is going to go fast, okay. and how you're working with social change people and what you advise them to do, and just kind of focus on that. Although, as I say, this table of contents covers everything under the sun, just like the title says, Meditations on Everything Under the Sun.
Well, the book is structured, the first section of it demystifies the nature of consciousness so that people can interpret what's happening in their own subjectivity. I think that there's nothing more vital to reclaiming our power than to come to trust our own awareness and be able to work with the part of ourselves. We've all been trained in the U.S. anyway, those of us that, in terms of the Western culture, we're trained how to use the rational mind. It's the only part that we're trained to do problem solving with, to take seriously, and there's a whole huge amount of consciousness that isn't rational, that is part of what it means to be a human being. And in fact, those parts of our consciousness are relaxed awareness. There's nothing mysterious about it. It's just that's when we don't pay attention to what is going on in our subjective awareness. But the meditative consciousness is, when we're in that state of relaxed awareness, whether you're in it from just taking a walk or a bath or a meditation practice, or, you know, I mean, we all go into that state all the time. The trick is to pay attention to it and work with it. And when we're in that state, that's when we get to have a sense of communion. So we not only get clear what our own answers are, it's in that place, ironically, it's when you look within that you really feel your connectedness to the planet, to each other. So meditations in groups make the groups more cohesive, and when one meditates in a group setting, the meditations themselves are way more powerful. And meditation is a, it's really a collective process. I mean, people are communal people, and we're social beings. So, and the nature, I mean, the energy that gets unleashed when we're working with this kind of state of awareness together is really powerful, and I think can make the difference in being able to be effective politically.
Mm-hmm. Well, so many things are coming up for me to say. One of them right away, when you said we all get in these states of awareness from taking a bath, taking a walk, whatever, you know, these relaxed states of awareness, I'm thinking, oh, but, you know, of course, and you and I have been chatting about these things before we started recording here, but probably less and less people are getting in those states as they're more and more pushed with, you know, having to work six jobs just to get by or whatever it is.
Well, actually, Joanna Macy talks about the acceleration of time, and it's true. I mean, all of us get so rushed that we end up spinning our wheels, doing things entirely inefficiently, not doing very wise things, and being in such a rush that we treat each other badly. We don't feel good. We're you know, dying of stress-caused diseases. I mean, really. And we got to slow down and take, I mean, the miracles, it feels miraculous, about the nature of inner consciousness is that time is elastic. I mean, it's like if you ever have your life suddenly threatened, like if you're about to have a car accident and you remember afterwards that it's like a slow motion movie, you know, when time is very elastic. So when we have access to actively working with deeper levels, we can stretch time out in a major way. Actually, I had this vision in a meditation recently where I was projecting into a time in the future where we've secured the future, quite literally. And what the vision was is that all the stuff in the museums were the artifacts of war and violence. And there was these little historical placards about, you know, how museums are, about what these different things were. And then what was going on outside the museum was all the things that used to be in our time in museums, which are the sacred items of indigenous people, that these items were no longer in the museums. They were being used as they need to be used to hold the container of the sanctity of life and the web of life. And in the vision, there was an indigenous person who was training modern people how to live in a way that honors the earth and each other. And there was this rush for everybody to take this training so that we as Westerners or modern people could learn how to live in a way that the planet needed and that we needed. And he turned to the people in the vision, he turned to people and he said, "What's your rush? There's eternity." And I had that vision when I myself get caught up in this, we're in a rush all the time. The quality of time being infinite in the moment, I mean, I can't, there's no words for it, because words actually linearize you right out of the moment. It's profound, and I think that if we have ways to access that place, we are, I mean, first of all, our lives are, the quality of our lives are transformed, and the quality of our relationships and the quality of our work. Mm-hmm. So however we get there, you know, we the planet can't afford for us to move out of a place of urgency. We cannot do that. We have got to slow down and connect with each other and connect with spirit and be from that place, because otherwise the work is, we're just going to create the same old anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it often definitely feels like a bind. There's more to do. You say the planet can't afford for us not to slow down, and it also feels like the planet can't afford for us to slow down because we have to stop doing what we're doing. But this is, this is the quandary, I guess, and you're really addressing it, Margo Adair.
Well, it's like the analogy I used a moment ago, when our lives are threatened, our consciousness slows down, and we are very focused. That's when time slows down. And it doesn't just happen. It happens because we need to focus our attention, because it's needed, and the planet needs our attention, needs our full and our whole attention. Every aspect of consciousness that needs to wake up and be part of, it's an incredible moment on the planet, and we need to muster our ability to address it and we can't do it privately. We can't do it individually. We can't. And when we're really rushed and urgent, oftentimes we're isolated and alienated because we're not. When we're connected with each other, there's a larger sense of the context, and we're supported by each other as opposed to feeling like we privately got to save it, which is sort of part of the U.S. American, arrogant mentality that we're going to save the world when really what we're doing is creating problems and we don't know it, So if we slow down, maybe we can really, really be part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem.
The other thing that I noticed in what you were just saying that kind of I wanted to say something about was when you were talking about the power of meditation in groups. And personally speaking, I've had this issue for being in spiritual groups that with traditions that I highly respect, and I've really respect the teachings and the traditions, and I've gotten a lot out of it. I don't have a desire to knock the traditions at all, but very often, and the people, and this is this split, which I know that you've been working on. That's what one of the main things that your work is all about. And me too. I've been working on it. That so in the spiritual groups that I've been in, oftentimes, the minute I talk about, they'll say, "Oh, the trees are so beautiful," and I'm really in touch with that, and that's wonderful. And of course, it is wonderful. I mean, I agree, it's wonderful. And then if I say something like, and isn't it really terrible that, 90% of the trees are maybe higher than that in the world have been cut down, and that we, are being cut down and we really need to do something about that, the person just goes out. I mean, their eyes just roll a different direction and they walk away. So, which is such a very concrete example to me of the way in which that people oftentimes, and this is obviously a generalization, who are doing things like meditations together are not focusing on their own personal growth, which again is important, but I know that you address this coming together to make social change by relating to spirit.
Well, I think as the whole is in the part, and the part is in the whole. And the malaise of U.S. culture is that we don't see ourselves as connected to one another, and we're isolated. And the more privilege we have, the more we disconnect ourselves from the larger context. As you describe these spiritual groups, the images that come up in my mind are predominantly white, upper middle class people who are
true.
yeah, whom are in all good intention working to heal their alienation. Well, a lot of the alienation comes from the old stereotype: the more power you have, the more lonely you are, and it's true. And in the U.S., we have a culture that all the wealth was built on by not what you would call fair deals. I mean, so genocide, slavery, we know the incredible suffering and abuse and violence that created the wealth of this country. And human beings are heart-loving animals. So the only way we survive is to be in denial. And the more privilege we have, the more it's invisible to us that have it. And we don't have ways to connect with one another so that we can look at it and not take it personally. I mean, more privilege you have, you take everything personally. So you created the system. I mean, excuse me. the question is not I mean, our ancestors may have, those of us from upper middle class backgrounds and owning and ruling class backgrounds, but we didn't individually create it, and we're not going to individually solve it. You can't individually have enlightenment either. I mean, you know, we're in it together. And when we bring in heart and we bring in spirit, we can collectively build the kind of bonds we need to get real, to get honest, and to address the real issues of power that need to be addressed. I don't believe that meditation is going to be the only thing that's going to solve. I mean, we got to act. We got to change the institutions that run the economies and that are dry. I mean, we live on a planet now that is run by greed. I mean, that's, you know, bottom line. And I think that there's a way in the U.S. culture, because we see things so individually, that when you raise up stuff about trees, it's not like people don't care about the trees. They care about the trees, but they don't know what they can do about it, and then they feel bad that they don't know what they can do about it, so all they can do is go into denial and change the subject. Mm-hmm. But it eats at our humanity. I mean, it eats at our humanness, because, you know, we share the planet with trees, and everybody wants to be able to be open. Trees open people's spirit. They just do. So how do we create political context in this country where we can talk about this stuff and not have people shut down? Because people feel like they can make a difference and they're not being blamed, but that together we can make a difference, because I don't think anybody wants trees cut down, mm-hmm. except the few shareholders of the lumber companies, which is a pretty infinitesimal minority of people on the planet.
Yeah, even loggers are starting to... people who've been loggers and will lose their jobs are standing up against it. So, Margot Adair, author of Meditations on Everything Under the Sun, The Dance of Imagination, Intuition, and Mindfulness, what kinds of things would you like to share with the audience about how you bring this together and what's in your book? And any time you feel like doing a meditation, actually, that would be really good for people to get an idea and have a direct experience with. So wherever you want to start.
Well, one thing that I'd say, that a lot of the work is about reclaiming our intuition and being able to get intuitive information at will. And the fact that whatever we're imagining, we're acting out of that vision of the world, regardless of whether we're paying attention to the contents of our imagination. Everybody has an imagination. If you imagine yourself standing on a ledge about to fall over, your adrenaline is going to start pumping. You know, the body-mind connection is ignored in our culture, and as we reclaim the imagination, we can reclaim a language to speak to our deeper self. So that I have a meditation in the book which is called Creating a shared intent for perilous times. And actually, it was written with Ruby Phillips, a colleague, for the WTO, where people could, in advance, tune into why they're doing the work on a deep level, their conviction and commitment to the planet and each other.
I have to break in here and say, when you say it was prepared for you got it together for the WTO, you're referring to the actions against the World Trade Organization in Seattle in 1999, for those listeners who didn't quite get that.
Yeah, sorry, it's my political shorthand. So we did this meditation. We went to, and lots of people led it. It's actually in the book, where in advance people got in touch with why they were doing the work. So then when...
The work to protest the World Trade Organization and bring that to people's... to people's attention in the world, basically.
Right. I mean, there were thousands of people. Those moments in Seattle over that few weeks and many, many, many hours of organizing in advance that went on before the WTO came to town, we closed it down and we changed history. And there were... People were in the streets, and so were the police in the streets, and there was a battle, and it's called the Battle of Seattle. And how to maintain your sense of peacefulness, centeredness, when you've got tear gas coming at you, when you've got police with rubber bullets coming at you, I mean, that's a spiritual question, we're in training to save the future, quite literally. So anyway, I can go on. But
no, do go on. That's good.
So in that meditation, I invite people to create a symbol of what for themselves, what does their conviction mean to them? So that way, when they're in the streets and the police are on them, all they have to do is bring that symbol to mind, which takes an instant. It's an instant. The trick is having done the work ahead of time, so then your whole body moves into alignment. Just like if you're standing on that, imagine standing on that ledge, your adrenaline pumps. When you're standing in the street and you bring that symbol to mind, you're immediately in a place of calm, clarity. And in that place, you put out the kind of vibrations, energy, sensibility that's inspiring. Gandhi was a human being that inspired people in his presence of the way in which he did his work. And he's a human being. We can all be able to have a sense of presence in the work that we're doing so that they can't run the world out of greed. I mean, they just can't get away with it. Mm-hmm. So with that, I could lead a meditation.
that would be great. So everybody get ready to just pay attention. If you're not already, because listening to the radio, often we're doing other things. So if you can possibly take like 3 minutes here, that'll be great. And if you can't, just do your best.
And if you're in the midst of activity, just focus both externally and in what this inspires in the back of your awareness, so to speak. All the meditations are written in a language that speak to deeper consciousness, so you can go through a full relaxation process or you can simply read the language, and it'll inspire those places inside. So this one is called, I'm going to read passages from a couple meditations. There's one called The World, How It Is, and then How It Could Be, and then People Make History. Tune to the state of the planet. However you imagine doing so, in the quiet, be with the planet. The earth that provides home for all beings, the earth is wailing, storming, quaking. Species disappear, soil is lost, land is paved over, and toxins strewn everywhere. Even the sky is dying. The earth cries. For the first time in history, it is not clear that the earth will be able to provide for the generations to come. Yet everywhere there are children excited to be alive. Everywhere people care. There are communities working for common cause. Open to your feelings of care and concern. Open your heart. Open your heart to the grief you carry for the state the world is in. Breathe. Open to your feelings of care. Breathe. You needn't be numb. To feel is to be alive, to honor life. The truth sets us free. Life is resilient, always resilient. Grass grows up through concrete. Breathe in the quiet. Be with the planet. Tune to the state of humanity. Imagine as though humanity has a spirit. Tune to how the spirit of humanity is doing, how it is feeling. There are people everywhere whose right to self-determination is being trampled. Sometimes their lands are taken. Sometimes their lives are taken. There are people all over the globe who are disregarded and then massacred if they stand up. Tune to your care. There are communities working to change all over the planet. To create a time where the world is organized around care and concern, a society that revolves around the heart. Imagine a world that the heart, not power, the heart is at the center. Imagine a time when you could take it for granted that all life would be revered. Justice reigns. There's health care, there's home, there's resources that are shared by everyone. Diversity cultivated, cooperation a way of life. Imagine it. If you can imagine it, it is entirely possible. F- Feel common cause. Imagine who shares your cares. Imagine what you care most about. Tune to what you care most about. And know that as you move forward and you act on your cares, you bring change about. You can make a difference. The world teeters on such a precarious point that small contributions could be all that it takes to tip the balance and secure the future. Breathe. Know that you make a difference. Joining together, we make history.
Wow. Wow, that's really, it just makes me such a difference for me just sitting here next to you, Margot. And I wish we had lots of time, but we don't. And so you just have a very little while here to let people know about your webpage and what kind of work you're doing. This is just some of the meditations in this book. This book, Meditations Under Everything Under the Sun, The Dance of Imagination, Intuition, and Mindfulness by Margot Dare is, let's see here, between 300 and 400 pages long. And there are meditations on everything under the sun and a lot of explanation about it. So you can get the book. By all means, do that. Can you get the book all over?
It would be wonderful if people go into their local independent bookstore and invite their bookstore to carry my book, Meditations on Everything Under the Sun. It was published by New Society Publishers, who are based in Canada, and all of their books are wonderful. They are about creating a new society and all the nuts and bolts of what it's going to take for us to do it. So invite your bookstore to carry it, and you can also get it on the web, and you can get it on our website. It's Tools for Change. That's TOOLSFORCHANGE.org, and you can also write us at info@toolsforchange.org. And in terms of the work that we're doing, we are helping create circles around the country to bring spirit into activism and bring activism into spiritual groups so that people can develop the circles and the support that they need to both be equal to the challenges of their personal lives and personally and collectively be part of transforming the planet. Or transforming the systems so that the planet can continue to live and breathe as it has for millenniums. It would be wonderful for people to be in touch with us, and all you do is write info@toolsforchange.org or go down to your local independent bookstore. It's probably in the chains, too, but the local independent bookstores should carry it, and they need to be supported.
And the name is Meditations on Everything Under the Sun, The Dance of Imagination, Intuition, and Mindfulness. My guest has been Margot Adair, who also wrote a book called Working Inside Out, which you said is going to be reprinted and is also a very, very useful book. So thank you very much, Margot Adair.
And thank you. It's been a total pleasure to talk with each other.
Absolutely. My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.